Hey, hey, Bachelor Masters coming at you from Los Angeles. Now, if you follow us on Twitter, and if you don't, you should, because I tweet the tweets and they're very funny sometimes or insightful.
Yeah. All this architecture talk that finale. It was the finale. There was so much to say about the emotions, and you're like, architecture.
It's like Icelandic architecture. Yes. You would know if you followed us on Twitter that our co-host, EZR, right there. Hi, EZR. Hello. You were at the taping on Monday.
I was, and I could have gone on Tuesday too.
Yeah, one's enough.
I didn't realize which one would be more important. I was confused. Yeah. And then I got asked, and then I was like, yes, I will. And Craig, you could have been there.
I know. We're going to walk everyone through this in just a second. Caitlin, co-host Caitlin, our co-host Caitlin, is not with us today because she is sick. So we hope she feels better soon.
Yeah, feel better.
And you get a nice extra week of hiatus because we're going on hiatus until May, thankfully. Yeah. Everything was good for both of us to go. I had my Monday free, but we needed a PCR test, and the only time to do that was Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, lots of good safeguards in place, but that's not the fun stuff. Who cares about that?
Well, Craig, I couldn't go to get my PCR testing.
Excuses.
I was in Monrovia. There was no way I could get back to Warner Brothers by 2 o'clock. It just wasn't. I left my apartment here at 8 a.m. Wasn't back until about 4 p.m.
I don't believe that you were up at 8 a.m., but go ahead.
No, it was. It was because it was daylight savings time on top of that. So it was horrible. It was like if I have to get up, to me, it's not a big deal, but we went to Monrovia and couldn't do the PCR testing, so I didn't get to go. So you were by yourself. What was that like, being by yourself during this taping?
Oh, it was fine. I don't mind going places by myself. I like the solitude since my house is...
You're zen.
Noisy with kids, so I'm okay with doing anything by myself. I don't mind at all.
You're cool being around a bunch of influencers and wannabe influencers. How much of the audience? Well, give us a breakdown of the audience. Because, for instance, on Tuesday night, last night, Genevieve and Aaron and what's his name were right behind Jesse Palmer in the audience. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're like actual cast members in the audience. So, like, break down the audience for us here.
Oh, okay.
For the Monday night.
For Monday night. And I saw a lot of the same people there on Tuesday night on TV. There's about 30% that are seat fillers.
Right.
There are people that they hire, that they pay to go and sit in audience and look good and have big reactions. And then, and some of them, and actually I overheard them. I know some of them know what's going on. They're fans.
Right.
And then there's about 70% that are fans. And then those seat fillers have to stand, like at the Oscars, they have to stand up and sit back down if Aaron Clancy and who else, Genevieve and all them, are there. And I think I saw Shanae, right? Did you see Shanae?
Yeah, Shanae.
I thought her.
So you saw Genevieve and Aaron in person?
No, I saw Nick Vial and Claire and
ew.
Michelle.
Yeah,
well, not all of them. Caitlin Bristow, you know, whoever. But they did keep mentioning the production/directors of the live show did keep mentioning that this was the first time with a quote real audience, quote Bachelor Nation is back in here. So that's probably why they included so much audience reaction in the corner,
right?
You know, like picture within a picture. I don't know if that meant this season, like was Women Tell all planted audience members, or is this the first time with real audience members? So I might have been the first real audience since before COVID.
Keep going.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that Jesse Palmer was intently watching it when the cameras were not on him. Huh. And I thought that was really refreshing. He was into it. And if we're going to compare him to Chris Harrison was way checked out. maybe checked out 7 years ago around there. Right. So it was interesting to watch Jesse Palmer be very into it, take it very seriously.
Right.
but anyway, look, we can talk more about.
No, I got a litany of questions here.
Oh, you're not cutting this short. Time for the show. I'm excited for this episode.
I get to ask the questions because you sat through 8 hours of being on set, and therefore I get to ask the questions.
It was not 8 hours of on set, but uh-huh.
Okay, so of the 70% of the audience that's Bachelor fans, did you overhear people? Like, were people like, oh my God, I can't believe we're here. This is so amazing.
Yes, yes. Really? People were very excited. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, so there were some people that like maybe had never been to a taping before or something.
Right, right, yeah. Huh. People were like, my bucket list. Oh my God, I made
it. Are you serious?
Yeah, they were very, very excited. Maybe they got invited through some other medium. I don't know.
Maybe there was one woman who like was behind Jesse Palmer last night on Tuesday night that was seriously taking too much Prozac. She was doing all the facial expressions that they wanted her to do.
Oh yeah, well, you never know. That could have been a plant, but a seat filler, because yeah. they have to act so into it. And the seat fillers are into it too. Some, like I said, some of them are fans.
Yeah, but sure.
I get the feeling that a lot of the fans were going along with what. So this is where I get frustrated, because I did not have the same reaction. In fact, I had the exact opposite reaction, which is why I was probably never on camera.
Right.
That everyone else had. I was
like, so on Monday night when people were like booing and hissing Clayton, you were like, wait a second, what did he do or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, look, I get what he did. I'm here to offer a nuanced perspective on this podcast. I can see that Clayton's immature, but condemning him completely seems not okay. And it even came to a point where in the episode on Monday night that I was there for, he was crying, right? He said, I'm so broken.
Right.
That I think that rang true to everyone, and there was open snickering. Mm. Now, I don't mind making fun of people. I don't mind if people are jerks, but this man was crying and people were laughing at him. And I get that they hate him, but is that really, it seems heartless. He seemed genuinely lost.
Right.
So
the whole audience is going in one direction. You're stewing and getting more and more upset in your seat. Mm-hmm. Flames are coming out of your ears.
Oh, no, I just, you know, the best part is that the camera's not going to be on me because right. I'm going to say, because I'm going to have the opposite reaction. They don't want that on TV.
Right.
They don't want me booing when everyone else is is cheering, and they don't want me shaking my head no when everyone else is clapping.
Did anyone around you, like, turn at you and be like, you got to get in line?
I think I was the one who was turning at them like, wrong.
Okay, so a few more questions here. So,
oh my goodness,
you get to Warner Brothers. They you stand in those like queue lines, and then they take you in to eat some food, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is not exciting, Craig. I'm sorry.
This is exciting.
I'm gonna hit the boring button here. Okay.
Well, you haven't hit it yet. So hold on. So they feed you, and the Bachelor Nation has posted pictures on Instagram of what that room looks like. It's just a big studio with nothing in it, with tables. And then you got to eat food, right?
Yeah.
And you could eat anything you wanted?
I mean, out of the boxes that they laid out. Yes, now I'm hitting the buzzer meter. I am so, this is boring.
Okay, wait, couple more questions. Where did you put your phone when it was time to actually go into the studio?
Like in any taping, in a bag that they have in a box. And you got to bring in your bag. Oh my goodness!
So you have your bag with you, but you put your phone in a bag.
Yes, I'm confused. Put your phone in like a manila envelope. See, this is how boring it's getting. I'm talking
Hold on. When we did the taping of the proposal, when we, you and I and Mark went to the proposal.
Yeah, I don't remember that
at all. We didn't even have our phones with us at all. You weren't even allowed to have your phones with us at all. So this is not the same. There were no bags to put your phone in.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. COVID or something? I have no idea.
So you put your phone in this bag, and then the bag goes in your bag, or the bag goes with them?
The bag goes with them.
Okay.
This is not, if anyone's ever been to a taping, which I'm sure a lot of people, if you go travel to anywhere, you can go to a taping. You know, right. If you go to New York, if you go to Florida, some places in Florida, I'm sure.
I know. I was on an episode of People's Court.
Yeah. So this is not that exciting. The only...
Okay. Did they film audience reactions before it started, or was it truly live?
It was truly live.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So you're not having to like fake a bunch of reactions. Like,
no.
So when we did the proposal, they recorded all the audience reactions before the show started. So they would be like, okay, everyone act upset. Ooh, and everyone act like you're so happy. Yay.
Well, they did practice with us, and they told us what was going to happen.
Was there a comedian like running the show? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's always that guy, the warm up guy. But no. The reason this was, you know, they would tell us something like, when this person comes out, make sure to cheer and you can stand up. So it is a little bit planned, but they know where they're going with it.
But the breaks, like when they go to commercial, that's like a set time because this is live on the East Coast, right? So So when they go to commercial, they're like, okay, we got 3 minutes and then we're back.
Yes.
And then the comedian is like, okay, everyone, when we come back, everyone do this.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
See, you already know. Not that exciting.
It's super exciting. This is show business.
The parts that are actually exciting are what I want to get to now.
Ezra, you're being very disrespectful to the young person living in Nebraska right now, listening to us.
Who has been dreaming
of coming to Hollywood and seeing a taping of The Bachelor.
No, that's not.
But they're not wealthy. They don't have the means to just get on an airplane and fly to LA. And where would they stay? Maybe their family goes to like the football bowl game every year.
This is very condescending. Yeah. I'm pretty sure people can take a vacation sometimes if they really wanted to.
I'm not so sure about that. There's a lot of money doesn't go.
Yeah, but no, okay. Well, let's just say that is not true. What I just said, it's still very condescending of you to make it sound like that.
Well, there might be someone listening that is really interested in what we're talking about.
Well, then they can ask us personally instead of this way, finding out this way. Okay, ready?
No.
I am. So don't talk about this.
Okay, how are we going to do this? We got lots of content we got to get through.
Yeah, so in my mind, I mean, we should go chronologically / by subject because it is so dense, right? Everything that happened was the finale, was the closure, was the answers we were looking for, were the answers.
Yeah, but was there any drama, really?
I thought it was interesting because here I am ready to defend
Clayton,
my position.
Oh, right. So about your position. So your position is that Susie was looking for a way out and manipulated Clayton into sending her off so that she didn't have to be with him at the end.
Well, that maybe was your, now.
That was your stated position last week.
Sure. But I mean, honestly, maybe her way out was just not getting proposed to. That's a way out.
Why would she propose to? Why would she choose to be with him now? It makes no sense.
Well, I think this is there's a lot here. I think it does make sense.
Well, no shit. There's a lot here.
I know. But what I'm saying is that it's not as easy as one sentence answer. It's a buildup because of all the things that we saw.
Well, if Susie wants to be famous and be an Instagram influencer and all that, then being with Clayton is not the way to do that.
Sure it is, because, well, look, how about this? I really want to answer that with my ending paragraph, but let me start at the beginning. Okay. Of
so Monday by the night. End of this podcast, we will answer that question, is what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. Especially when it has to do with, I think for me, it has a lot to do with how women tend to bend on this program versus how men are not as willing to.
Okay.
Because if we go into Bachelor history, whether the winner likes the lead or not, they might end up with the winner for a short amount of time out of some kind of pressure.
I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. It's never happened before. I mean, it has. Well, Cassie, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, it has.
Don't but get me started on her.
I have even more to say than that. Okay. Let's start with the biggest shit weasel, Nick Viall, right? Who I saw. And I could tell.
What was he like in person?
He's just a dick. You know, he's just standing there smugly. He's just a dick. I don't know. I really. There's people who you don't like. And there's people who you don't like who don't get it. And then there's people like him who have discovered the secret language of women and use it to manipulate whatever he's into, right? He can manipulate you right in front of you, or he can manipulate a crowd. I feel like he knew a lot beforehand because he was way too smug and confident in his answer, which was this, in case anyone remembers. What happened was, we saw the rose ceremony from hell, right? Uh-huh. Which is coined TM, trademarked by Jesse Palmer. And his answer, because he was asked by Jesse Palmer, well, what did you think about that?
Well, unfortunately, though, he left out the most important thing, which is he told Susie that he loved her the most. I feel like that would be something that these women would want to hear, especially Gabby, while he was trying to convince her not to trust her gut. And, you know, listen, I think Clayton might have the best intentions, but I think he never took the time to consider the position of power that he's in as the Bachelor, right? And he never took the time to empathize with these women and what it would be like to be in their shoes. And unfortunately, I think you're seeing a guy who's focused on finding love for himself and not finding love with someone else.
Ugh. And here's why I don't like it. Whether he's right or wrong, Gabby and Rachel had the exact same thing to say, where it was starting to get not so novel by the end of the two night episodes, by the end of the second night. They all said the same thing, which makes me think Nick Viall knew a little bit too much to have that answer so ready.
Well, he said that he watched the finale early, a day or two earlier, because he tweeted about it.
Okay. Well, then he does have an answer ready.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly what to say, because I don't listen to his podcast, but I have heard snippets here and there. And he's the ultimate user of psychobabble combined with what women want in this illogical way, the illogical things women want, right? And I mean this as a woman who has said illogical things that I 100% stand by. You know, would you love me if I was a worm? Yes, like that. You know, you never heard that before. It's like a internet joke right now. You know, supposed to be, you're supposed to want illogical things from your partner them to tell you that they choose you number one. So it bothers me because he supposedly is telling it like it is, but it's really to get what every man wants, right? He's narcissistically manipulating people for promotion, for money, and for women. And I hate his dumb face. So
no disagreement there.
That to me sets up a lot of what Clayton has had to go through in terms of, you know, everyone was nodding along with him. Everyone was clapping. And to me, he is the ultimate manipulator. He's way worse than Clayton in so many ways. So that's where I start. That's my baseline. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Craig, I'm sorry Caitlin isn't here because I had so throughout the I had this huge question throughout the live taping. They encouraged us to react as we were watching the live taping. Talk to our neighbors. I mean, we could talk. We could clap, we could cheer, whatever. And everyone loved Gabby, which I don't, I mean, what's not to love? She's correct, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. And I wish Caitlin was here because I want to understand this. And I maybe you can help me understand this.
I'm just a guy. What do I know?
Okay, so Bachelor Nation, at least the small sampling I was with, love this, and I want to deconstruct it.
You mean when in the audience you were with?
Yes, and then these people have to be fervent fans, right? Because they were, they took this time to take 2 days to come see a Bachelor thing. I mean, this is not your average fan, I would think. So right. Here is a summary version of after the rose ceremony from hell, Gabby had this little speech and I summarized it. I edited it down because I want you to help me understand why this was so applauded.
Okay.
But like, how do you weigh like your words and then like the potential of like me going home?
Because ultimately, like whoever I pick, I love the most. All the other love, it was real, but it ends there. It didn't mean I didn't mean it. It just meant that, like, I had a stronger love with somebody else.
I just don't think he's being fair right now. For him saying, like, the woman I walk out with is the woman I love the most, like, wrong answer. Like, love isn't measured.
I don't want to be loved the most. I just, like, want to be loved for who I am.
I'm not in the business of competing with anyone for love.
You're on The Bachelor.
I know.
Yes, you are.
It was like, there were tweets, literally unironic tweets, like, you're right. The Bachelor's not a contest.
It literally is.
It literally is a contest.
Yes. And want to be loved for who I am, not the most. I mean, what the hell is a relationship if it isn't that? You know, should you be in a relationship with someone who loves someone else? That is like even the let's just take away The Bachelor, the show for a second. What does that mean? Why is it applauded? Right. Well, that quote, can you explain that to me?
It's on a register that, yeah, I don't understand myself. It's
oh, no.
I mean, it's like, hey. if you don't love somebody more or less, then why do we say that to each other? Like, I love you more.
Well, this is the. I mean,
and who is she to say what love is? Was she some expert in love?
Well,
why would she be on The Bachelor if she knew all the answers?
It is. I have the other love quote that I do think is correct of her, but in this context, I didn't think that made any sense. I want to be loved. For who I am, period, not the most, period. What? Don't you want to be loved the most? And everyone, I mean, people lost it. They cheered. And it made zero sense to me. Here's my other little, like I said, it felt like a sample size of the most passionate Bachelor Nation members, citizens. They love to move the goalpost. In Bachelor Nation, we know since last week that he loves Susie the most, right? He said it. But when both those women came on board and he said it again, they all are upset at him. Mm-hmm. And it's like he said it all along. So which is it? I had a really hard time understanding the audience's. You know, they wanted him to fail at some point because he lied to them. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be much help here because I had the same reaction when I saw people tweeting how great that was. I was like, what?
Okay. Look, now, I am...
I just realized I said, I was like, what? Like a valley person or something.
Okay.
I was like, well, oh my God.
I am going to stage one of answering our thesis question here, which I kind of lost, but I know that I'm on my way to answering it somehow because I remember my point.
What about Susie?
Susie, yeah. Defending my premise from last week, right?
Yeah.
So we all saw Cassie, who's come back to Bachelor. See, I'm confused. They say Bachelor Nation, and sometimes they mean the contestants, and sometimes they mean the audience.
Right.
So I'm talking about this former contestant, Cassie.
Yes.
Colton and Cassie's season, do you need a primer? Do you need a refresher on what happened? No. I'm not going to give a history
lesson. We all know what happened and what happened afterwards. He stalked her and all that kind of stuff.
Well, no. This is all just within the show, right? He chose her. She did not want to choose him back. But then from night to day, the producers came in and changed everything. Because if you remember, there was one night when she rejected him, just like with Clayton. Susie rejected him. And then it's a new day with Colton and Cassie. And all of a sudden, she's come around. And we're like, how did that happen? Oh, producers came in and convinced them both to stay together, right? I think that season and that ending is a very important touchstone for our whole conversation that we're about to have re-Susie Clayton and why Susie's still around and why she chose to be, that's what it was, and why she chose to choose him as a boyfriend, which is very clever because it's not an engagement, by the way. I have to reiterate that. So keep the Colton Cassie thing in your head. Okay.
Got it.
What did you think about, so before we go into that, what did you think about Cassie on the,
well,
after the final rose?
Why does she look different? I don't
know. Oh, she looked, in person, it looked even crazier. I think I sent you guys a text saying she looks like a Real Housewives kind of. She was spray tanned and bone thin. And I think she's going for a look that she's not going to regret, or that in hindsight she might not regret, but we regret for her. Like, it's not a good look. Right. There's some
speculation that she was going to be the next Bachelorette.
I heard that in line too, but I know that she has a boyfriend.
That is lying.
Yes.
People were like, oh my God, Cassie's going to be the next Bachelorette.
She must be here because she's going to be the next Bachelorette, is what everyone kind of thought.
Wait, so when did these stars come around? Was that planned? Like, okay, once you get ready, you have to walk around the crowd just to kind of get them excited.
Were walking through as we were eating or putting our phones away. They were just people freaked out. Some people screamed. I was not near the excitement because I was doing other things. I was not going to get up.
Well, I think that was planned. That's all I'm trying to say. Make sure to walk through so that the fans can see you.
I don't think it was planned, but I think it was kind of to cut the monotony of what we were, because we were just waiting around for a while. Yeah. Okay. Here's a baseline for me, though. Tell me if you agree with this. I think that last week, and maybe for the entire production, Clayton was not allowed to mention the show itself, the producers, but he can only speak in the semi-code. For example, like we said last week, him saying you invalidated everything instead of saying, oh, you just did it to be on the show. Do you agree that this is kind of the way the show works, that we're not allowed to reference the show? It's not fourth wall breaking in your own terms.
Right. You're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think we talked about this last week when he was yelling at Susie. It was probably running through his mind that he couldn't mention the producers, because if he could mention the producers, or I should say, if he could break the fourth wall, he would have just said, you know, you were using me for fame and Instagram followers, but he didn't say that. Mm-hmm. So he kind of battled on in his, you know, obviously we all know what he said. So, yeah.
Okay, good. So the same way we three at the time agreed that the Colton Cassie thing was a producer setup, I think the way they got Clayton and Susie to come back around and to agree to see each other again, and Gabby, right, to come back around, is producer influence. Right?
Well, it is weird that during the rose ceremony from hell that he managed to convince Gabby to come back up and take a rose.
Do you maybe think that it could be someone speaking to Gabby?
Well, if they had, it really depends, I think, on whether or not the producers had decided they were going to have both of them be the Bachelorette by then, which is asking a lot, because if they had already decided that, then it looks really good. It's a really good photo op to have them both standing there crying, but holding roses, and then to get broken up together. I mean, all that was very convenient if you're going to have both of them be the Bachelorette. But that's really early on in the process, so I don't know if that's true.
Okay. I guess my point is that despite all that, the audience at large, most of them, or the loudest ones, are the ones who have Twitter, are placing this blame on why things happened the way it happened solely on Clayton, that it may not just be his fault, right? And I feel like it's not a coincidence that they brought Cassie out of all people. I feel like it's a good... not a foreshadowing, but
as our friend Jay in LA tweeted, why she swore off Bachelor Nation.
Yeah.
So why would she come back? Besides money and fame, why would she come back?
In terms of her making sense for what we are looking at, it totally makes sense. Right? It's like, what's it called, you English major? I know you're an art major, but in English terms, when you see the same parallel in front of you so that you can reference point against it, it's like that, right? I feel like it's intentional.
Oh, right, that.
Yet not. Maybe it's not a thing, but I feel like I've seen it in a Dickens or D.H. Lawrence.
I need something more to work with here.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just think it's not a coincidence that this person who swore off Bachelor Nation and we haven't seen in so long reminds us exactly of what we've already seen, and it's happening now.
Okay.
Because it's a good thing. If you leave, you're not going to accept a proposal. You don't want to get proposed to. You want to just maybe be boyfriend and girlfriend for a short amount of time. Which is what Cassie did. Okay. So here is... there was Nick Viall, who coincidentally went out with Caitlin Bristow and had sex with her.
Right.
Before the fantasy suites. And Caitlin Bristow was right on with her commentary. So let's just revisit it real quick.
Because they were sitting next to each other.
No, they weren't. They switched them out.
What do you mean?
Nick... Claire and Michelle were the three of them were sitting together.
Nick, Claire, and Michelle.
Yes. Michelle, the ex-bachelorette. The ex-bachelorette.
I thought it was Caitlin, Nick, and Cassie.
No. And then they switched them out, and then they brought in Caitlin, Rodney, and whoever, Cassie. So here is Caitlin Bristow. I feel like actually understanding and being honest about what she saw in the episode, the Monday night.
Says you're always going to break somebody's heart in this process. He has something in common with me, and that is being a victim of being in the moment a little too much. And he's done that with each woman, which has been really great, but also at the same time, it's going to hurt somebody deeply, and in this case, multiple people deeply. So he has to pursue the person that he actually sees his life with, even if Susie could say no.
So, you know, the flip-flopping that Clayton does, it's pretty classic. But, you know, Nick Viall, of all people, accusing someone else of centering themselves. That is classic projection, right? I mean, now you tell me something. Because I'm building my case. I understand what Clayton did wasn't perfect. But isn't the one place in our lives that we're allowed to be selfish is in romance? That's the only place where selfishness is almost reinforced, because you don't want to end up with someone you're not right for to be nice.
Right. Yeah, I know. You know me. I'm a proponent of...
You're selfishness in all aspects of life. Yes. I get it.
Yeah. Hedonism.
Yeah. So, but if we are being honest about, you know, if you wanted to...
Yeah,
tell someone the most truthful thing.
The thing is, this is where Susie getting back together with Clayton kind of validates Clayton, because you know, because he didn't. In the end, I think in the end, you could convince me that the women were right, and he shouldn't have said he loved three women, because you can't love three women at the same time. Like, I think that little bit you can convince me of, but everything else he did, I think, is totally fine, especially in the context of the show. And maybe Susie came around and now understands that.
So what you think he did wrong is just having told them, like what Gabby said at one point. She said, why didn't you just save it?
Yeah. Or like, I think she said on Tuesday night, she was like, you can't be in love with three people at the same time. Or he said that. He's like, I've realized now that I can't love three people at the same time, or something like that.
Right. And I want to address that on its own a little bit later on, because I think it's relevant. I'm not defending a perfect claim. I'm defending the situation and how it can get this messy without...
You're defending the situation from MTV's Jersey Shore?
I always will. No, I hate that guy. I like, what's Vinny.
Okay. There's a point I'm trying to make. I just haven't formed it yet.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, let me finish what I'm going to say about this selfishness. Last week, this belligerent part of Bachelor Nation, the very vocal one, did backbends, convincing us that Susie's unreasonableness when she imposed a retroactive ultimatum in the world-famous show was okay.
Right.
But Clayton cannot be unreasonable in any way.
Right.
And that is the double standard I was half referring to last week. Now, Craig, and I would ask Caitlin this because she might have watched it. Have you seen the new Love is Blind season 2?
Nope.
Okay. In season 2, someone does something exactly like this. He goes and spoiler alert, Love is Blind. But even the after the final rose for Love is Blind came out already. So everyone should at least know that the spoilers are out there. Jared proposes to one woman. Like, as we see, like, in the morning, and she rejects him. And so he proposes to his now wife in the evening. He was so upset about it. And that is okay, because the slate is wiped clean. And I think when you are selfish on a show, it's kind of like when you're the protagonist, you're supposed to be. So it's really hard for me to... How are they defending Susie's position that was unreasonable, and not defending Clayton at all when he was the lead? He is allowed to, in theory, you're allowed to sleep with three people. In theory, you're allowed to tell top two or top three you are falling in love or whatever. You're allowed to say it week 5, because that's the sexy week, right?
Right.
So it's amazing that they won't defend that he is just, everything he does is wrong. Doesn't matter what he does. But yeah. Susie, she was in her right. That was... where I was last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that just adds further credence to the oddness of her getting back together with him, because she left this in a perfect position, and now she's with the bad guy. That makes her a bad. She's now a villain.
So, I will reference this at the end because I haven't gotten there, and I feel like I need my building blocks before I answer everything. So keep that in your head. Look. I think a really important thing here is that do you at least believe that he was genuinely lost and he was trying to be honest and he reached for what thought would work? He looked for comfort from Gabby and Rachel, right? He tried to get them to stay to listen. Other than the fact that the producers convinced him to convince them and convince Gabby and Rachel to stay, don't you think that's the actions of somebody who actually is lost and sad and heartbroken? Mm-hmm. So my, to me, it's, I mean, it was lose-lose for Clayton once Susie left at any point. And so it's on her that he looks so completely bad at this point. I have to say something here, Craig. You're what you would do on The Bachelorette. You would say nothing, right?
And if I'm sure, were Clayton,
if you were Clayton,
in during what period of time?
When Susie decided to leave.
Oh yeah, I would have kept my mouth shut for sure.
When there was that rose ceremony, you would not have been honest with the. I mean, even like conditionally honest, as Gabby puts it.
Yeah, I would have been conditionally honest. I love that.
Yeah. And
I'm going to write that down. Conditionally honest.
Don't you think, and I will tell you.
Conditionally. That's a hard word. Conditionally. Yes. Okay.
Don't you think, so what would happen here is that if I saw you, Craig, if Craig, you were the lead and you said nothing, I would think you were malicious. I would not buy any crap you were selling me. But him being honest and flip-flopping and talking to his parents and then telling the women he loves them and then going back on it and then choosing Susie, even though she at that point on TV had not chosen him, Marlo, we don't know what. That to me looked very real and struggling mm-hmm. with the truth, right? And that's why I half defend him, because the parents, I mean, maybe they were very, when Clayton's parents came out, maybe that's really good advice, but it's not good advice for The Bachelor. That's the setup of the show. Right. And I even like kind of think, Craig, that the dad, even though he seemed very smart and he seemed like he was trying to give good, honest advice, I feel like he was maybe being you and saying, don't make yourself look bad on the show. You shouldn't have said, I love you to three women, like hint, hint, instead of saying what he actually said. That's my cynical take.
Well, I like what you said, struggling with the truth, because if there's one thing that Clayton can't be accused of, it's lying, because he constantly was being very open and upfront about how he's struggling to figure all this out, how he understood his feelings as love with three different women. I mean, he wasn't lying. I mean, I think he got accused of lying during the rose ceremony from hell, but even then the accusations of lying there are because it's like he's stringing the other two women along because he's already decided that he's going to choose Susie, but maybe he didn't. He's struggling and he didn't know.
Yeah,
it's a defensible position.
Right. When you are very lost, you ignore the stuff that you said previously, or you're trying to, you know, yes, maybe I told Susie, maybe I told Susie I love her the most, but that's not true anymore. I cut her. Right. So now I have to decide who I love the most between these two women.
Right. At some point, I want to talk about Rachel and not choosing the person who's clearly into you the most.
Oh yeah, we're getting there. Because I thought that was important. That's the paradigm that we talk about, that we talked about for the last 2 weeks, that I was very clear with you two about. The paradigm of the perfect for you versus the perfect 10.
Right.
Okay, so I just want to like round this out with the parents, because I don't think we can get away here without talking about the parents. I don't think he would have said what he said to his parents about, well, we got caught up in the moment and, you know, I have to get Susie back, if he didn't at that point had already had a producer in his ear telling him, you know, before Jesse Palmer walked in, Susie is still here. You might still have another chance. Like, I don't think that's something you do, right? That's not that's not okay to do. Unless producers make you question your reality and your possibilities.
Right. They're gaslighting him.
Right. Much like Colton. Much like they did to Colton and Cassie. So, yeah.
Take a deep breath.
I know. I'm just like, I'm just making sure.
I think it's more personal to you because you were at the taping. See?
No, I don't. I just think that we are the lone voice. And I think
Would you watch the show when you were in the audience? Did you watch the show on that big screen?
Yeah.
You didn't have like separate monitors, like separate monitors set up around?
Well, there's a giant monitor that you can, that's kind of behind Jesse Palmer. And there's a few monitors peppered, but they're not a lot. I watched it on the big one because I was in the right place. So I was right in front of all the guest stars. Like I could see all the guest stars like right in front of me, but I wasn't in the front. So
did you look carefully? Did you watch Monday night's episode?
No, not on TV. Okay. Like, I mean, not on Hulu or whatever. I watched bits and pieces of it for the, for just things I missed because people kept talking.
I watched as closely as I could and I couldn't see you. Even like I was looking like, well, maybe I'll see the back of her. Cause they showed a lot of what I think was your section. It just, it was all your backs.
Oh yeah. And I was like, sure.
Is that her? But
I was making the wrong expressions. I was not going to get on, but I didn't mean to. I was genuinely pissed. I was like, you guys need to stop. So anyways, the parents, I don't think my last thing, I just don't think that they kept telling him, look, this is the one that got away and that's why you want her. I don't think it's that.
Right.
I think it's the perfect 10 thinking. So now we can go into that because I think it's important that he, without, you know, it's not like I'm not controlling anything, as you know, right? I told you guys about this paradigm, and I think it's important to note that he mentions it himself in this part.
She had everything. She was somebody that I was like, this is a once in a lifetime kind of woman. You told me to follow my heart, and guess what? If it goes and gets heartbroken and I break my own heart in the process, so be it. I know that my heart's telling me to go do this, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And I don't know what else I can tell you. All I need is a chance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's perfect 10 talk, right?
Yeah.
So what did you want to say about that? About the... I mean, about that...
Well, there's a category of man that will always think that they can exceed their number score.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's just say hypothetically that Susie is a 10.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that's necessarily the case, but let's, for the sake of argument.
A 10 is a
no, it's not. It's an objective score. We've been over this.
Oh my goodness.
It's not different for everyone.
Does he think Susie's a 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then,
that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, it's not all that matters. But let's just say she's a 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's what? Like a 5?
Maybe like, he's a football, but it's like a 7, like a 6, 6.5.
There's no 0.5.
Seven. Because
no, he's not really a 7. Tall.
And he works out a lot. I'm saying this is someone who does not like.
Yeah, but he licks his lips all the time, and he's got fangs.
I mean, he was the bachelor.
He's got neck acne.
Oh, I didn't.
Let's say he's a 6.
Okay, fine.
Yes, so you're allowed 2 points up and 2 points down. So he could date an 8 or a 4, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a category of men that always think that they can jump up and date a 10, even though that their threshold is an 8. And he's one of them. But the thing is, nothing about him or his past that we know of seems to indicate that he's one of these people. He doesn't come across as the type of guy that's like womenizing and had all these women throughout his football playing days and, you know, dated the head cheerleader and anything like that. What he's kind of saying is, what?
He's a football player. He's an ex like NFL maybe football player. Isn't that give you a little bit of that?
It Yeah, it gives you a little bit of that, maybe a taste of it.
I mean, and you kind of have to think that a football player from Missouri, an NFL football player from Missouri, was probably a college football player, probably a high school football player.
No, he was. So, he played for Mizzou. For University of Missouri.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that doesn't that make him popular all the way across in that state?
Like, it makes him popular, but I don't know if he would just have women falling over themselves for him. I mean, there's still a.
I mean, I think it means exactly that.
Well, maybe.
Okay, but, go ahead.
But I think what he's saying, is like, I've never had a 10 or had access to a 10. This is my chance. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let me add some nuance points to what you're saying. Doesn't knowing what is right for you and what fits in with you also a product of age and knowledge and exposure to what's right and wrong?
Come again?
Doesn't him knowing that he's what's it called? Punching above his weight?
Yes.
Like come from...
Yes, him being a 6 and going for a 10 must come from what you're about to say.
Well, doesn't him being more realistic come from him having to be older, having more knowledge, and having more exposure to what's right and wrong and what's worked and not worked? Don't all men in theory want 10s? I mean, I'm saying this in the most way.
I don't think all men want 10s.
Okay.
Just like, listen, I don't think all women want 10s.
Football guy. Women are different, though. I'm not bringing women into this.
Football, people play sports for a number of different reasons. Macho women getting.
Talking about a Midwest / South. I mean, I don't know. Missouri is in the South. So I'm confused whether
it's Missouri is part of the South, yes.
Okay. A football, very successful football man. Like, I can only go off stereotypes here. And I think that everything, him understanding who Susie is and why she's not right for him, comes from him having to be older, him having more knowledge and more wisdom and exposure for a longer time to what a 10 actually brings.
You mean like Instagram followers?
I mean, like, you know. At 21, Craig, you've said this yourself, you know, that hot babe is a hot babe, and man, I'd like to have sex with her. But at 35, you're like, that is a load of trouble. I am not going to go near, you know, it's just exposure and knowledge and age. And
well, that's why he maturity. Likes Susie, because Susie seems to have like a good head on her shoulders and to be well adjusted. Right. I think that's which is factored into the point system. You're not just a 10 based purely on looks. You know, she has to be a well-rounded individual as well. So that's why he's going after her. I think we're arguing the same thing.
Yeah, I understand. But I think this is his 10 is, just because she's wholesome doesn't mean she's.
Right.
You know, I don't think they're right. Well, the thing is, they're not right for each other. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. Do I agree that they're not right for each other? I don't know about that. If he hadn't done the singular act of yelling at her rather aggressively in that foyer, if that scene did not happen, this would be a whole different conversation. She could have taken him back. Everything would have been jolly. You know, they could have gotten over the sex love thing, but now they have to get over the sex love being berated at thing, which is a huge amount to overcome. So now we're questioning her. Like, why the hell would you take him back after he treated you in such an aggressive manner? So maybe she is right for him because they're both like, willing to give up, I don't know. Well, she's willing to give up so much to go back with him. She's willing to overcome those things that happened to her. Then, I mean, she said she was so embarrassed. she said that he was making her question her intuition. I mean, those are like not lightweight things, and yet she still took him back with no pressure to do so.
Well, no, I think there is pressure to do so. And that's kind of where my ultimate thesis statement conclusion lies. But I'm almost there. I promise.
Well,
but,
I'm trying to answer your question. I don't like, are they good for each other?
For each other. Uh-huh.
Nothing makes me think they're not good for each other.
Let me put it this way. Is Rachel more right for him?
No.
No.
Just because someone loves you more does not make them right for you.
I think they made more sense together in a long-term way.
I think objectively looking at the show, mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably should have ended up together. He should have saw her for that. But just because either she's messed up in the head and has major issues and like will fall in love with anyone.
Rachel?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or he just happens oddly to be her exact type. I mean, I'm just trying to explain how she fell for him so quickly and so hard. I mean, it's kind of odd. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make her any better for him than Susie.
I think there is like a chemistry. And so this is, ineffable. This is indescribable. There's a chemistry between Rachel and Clayton that to me was undeniable, and it was long term. And men will ignore this, right? For like, to their peril.
Well, Susie and him had a chemistry too. They were making out in the freezing cold Nordic spa thing.
Sure, sure.
That I would have hated.
I mean, this is sexual, but it's not all sexual. It's also kind of parallel lives, and you make a lot of sense.
No, I mean, the only thing going for Rachel was that she was puppy dog eyed around him. She never really made a case as to why she should be his pick.
Like I said, I can only go off kind of the chemistry thing.
Right.
And I don't think Susie was way too poised for me to ever see that chemistry. She was too put together at all times. So if there is some chemistry there, I don't see it as much as I do. And speaking of Rachel, oh my God, was there this, oh boy, here.
So did you tell me that you were in love with me because you wanted to sleep with me?
Right in front of your parents.
Right in front of your parents. Just that moment was stop everything. No more. I did not want to live anymore. Like, how could you
do that? Really good question, to be fair. I mean, it's like,
it is a very good question.
Like, yeah, he kind of did.
Yeah. And this is why what Gabby says before that might be right on. She calls him a prideful man, which is something we've discussed on the podcast about how he is obsessed with manly man things, but he's not a chauvinist because he's self-deprecating. And I mean that obviously sarcastically. He probably is a chauvinist.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not saying he's not confused, but he did want to cut them. I don't want to divorce the fact the producers probably pushed him to this end with the fact that he is a prideful man. Right. But they can both coexist at the same time. The double breakup was classic. I laughed when he went in there and he was like, hey, you two, bye.
It didn't even occur to me that that was a problem, actually, when I first saw it. I was like, well, they were both in the room together. So I was like, okay, that's their decision. It didn't become an issue to me until someone mentioned it, and it was like, oh yeah, the double.
It was
breakup.
It was a night one. Like everyone in this, everyone in room B, you're cut. Like it is so rude. I couldn't even.
Huh. But speaking of architecture, when he went from one room to another, there was like that root. diagonal.
Yes.
What was that?
I don't know.
It was like part of the roof had come into the hallway. I don't know.
It was an attic. It was a structural weird vestige.
Only in Iceland do you get stuff like that.
And in attics. And anywhere.
They're not going to put them in an attic.
I don't know what it was. Maybe it was storage. Yeah. Look, ultimately, he is too immature, way too immature, to marry and have kids. Because what Gabby says is true, right? He, other than the prideful man thing, which is right on, she also said, you don't know, she kind of implied, I have her exact words here, but we don't have to listen to the clip. You don't know what love is, because love is to protect someone, and it's a lot of responsibility to say I love you, because that means a whole umbrella host of terms and things. And one of those things is that you're going to protect me. But I mean, he could have an immature little kid way of loving someone. He's selfishly in love. He wants to have sex with them. That's sure. Love to him. Okay. Because these Eskimo sister bachelorettes, I don't know how they're going to work that out, are going to have an excellent definition of love. Like, I don't doubt that they do. I think that it's pretty normal to be a not well-rounded lead man on The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're not going to get a very well-thought-out, processed.
He sold orthopedic equipment.
Clayton?
Yeah. That's well-rounded.
You mean after his football career failed?
Yeah, well, I'm making a joke. But no, seriously.
I didn't know that.
No, he was an orthopedic sales prep.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Yeah. I'm just saying that he does not have a lot going on for him emotionally, mature-wise.
Right.
And I think that all the women knew that. That's why he got so made fun of and for being picked for the Bachelor. But that's what the producers look for. They look for an immature, all-American, you know, just hometown guy who wants these simple things like a perfect 10 wife and to live off of Instagram. So, okay. Look, in the end, though, this is the first part of my final thoughts. Everyone got a happy ending. Clayton and Susie are back together. The Eskimo sisters are bachelorettes.
Okay, let's call them sister wives.
Sister wives. No, because all they did was have sex with the same man.
But I don't like using Eskimo as a pejorative term.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I thought that was just a term. That's right.
It is just a term, but think about how many just the terms.
Well, I know. Believe me, I know. Oh, yeah.
We'll call them sister wives because that's kind of making fun of Mormons.
Sister wives.
Probably okay.
Fine. Everyone got a happy ending. They are bachelorettes. Clayton is back with Susie. Does that mean, because it's for Bachelor Nation, that tends to mean that all is forgiven? Is this a wash for Bachelor Nation now after all that hate?
No, unfortunately for Clayton, he's never going to live this down. I mean, people still creep on Juan Pablo after all these years. And he was actually a creep.
But not on Nick Viall. I don't think he was a creep. I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong. And we could talk about Juan Pablo some other time. But Nick Viall... like slut shame somebody, and then he himself had sex. He did so many things wrong, but he is all is forgiven for him,
there's a lot of steps that Clayton would have to take, like start a podcast, date. I mean, he has to date, like Nick dated, like it's sort of like the Saudi Arabian kings or princes. They just put their print. They had princes like have sex with all of the. You know what I'm talking about in Saudi Arabia.
No, where are you going with this?
The Saudi Arabian government is formed by all the offspring of the crown prince. He placed those princes all around the kingdom in order to solidify his power.
Uh-huh.
So Nick Viall did the same thing. He like dated around all of the.
Did he?
All of the different people in Bachelor Nation. I think so.
I think he's just has sticking. He doesn't let things get to him. And he just has that's true. I don't mean it like sticking power. I mean it more like he's just a nasty piece of Band-Aid stuck to your shoe. Okay.
My point is there's a lot of work that Nick Vial did for better or for worse.
Absolutely.
To get back on the good graces of Bachelor Nation. And,
yeah.
Clayton would have to do the same thing.
And look, the Bachelor, the show, worked overtime as well to make sure, at the very least, Clayton has a good launch off point to be forgiven, right? By giving the two women that, because they are made whole.
They could have edited this whole thing much differently, and he would have come out looking just fine if that's what their goal was.
Well, the thing is, they would never ever do this to two men. They would do it to two women because it would be emasculating for this to happen to two men on the Bachelorette.
And it would be two Bachelorettes.
No, I'm talking about where a woman says, I had sex with everybody here and you guys are, but I actually don't like either one of you. I'm going with the third guy. here's my final thoughts. And so this is where I'm going to answer your question.
Okay. Let's hear it. It's like Jerry Springer's final thoughts. Young people listening will not understand that reference. So I don't think he does final. The show's not even on anymore.
Yeah.
He used to do Final Thoughts, which was the greatest thing ever.
I know. Oh, you're telling people. Yes. Look, in the end, he did get to sleep with all three women. So applause for Clayton. Good for you. He did it. He did it. Okay. Peter from Rachel's season. Do you have that person in your head? Rachel spent a long night with him trying to convince him to stay to be on The Bachelor. And then we find out later that Peter was just trying to start this like a workout business, and he had a girlfriend back home. And then she walked home in the rain, I think in like Spain. Okay. If you can't think of it, I'll give you more examples. From Michelle's season, Greg from Katie's season. These are men on The Bachelor who are so strong-willed and will not bend to what the show wants or what The Bachelorette wants. Okay.
Right.
Now,
Greg did not end up with Katie.
He tore every paper bag. You know, he got out of that one way or the other. He doesn't care how bad he looks. He will die on that hill that he is telling the truth. Now, flip side. Cassie from Colton's season. Madison from Peter's season. Rachel from Matt's season. And now Susie from Clayton's season. Women on The Bachelor tend to bend to what the producers want, lest they look bad on the show. And ultimately, that, I think, is why Susie, I'm not saying it's the entire reason. I'm saying it might have heavily played into it, that why she might be back with Clayton now.
Do we remember why Cassie rejected Colton at the first time on the show?
I do. Yes.
What was it?
She spoke to her father and her dad said, I can tell by like your face and your actions, you're just doing this for fame and your heart's not really in it. So please don't go with this man because you are not into him.
Right.
And, you know, listen to your faith and listen to your heart because they're very, faith-based family.
Right.
And she did it. She had enough willpower and fortitude on that one night to reject him. But then producers got to her, and we called it at the time, me, you, and Chris, a dystopian version of like why reality TV show exists, if you remember, or something akin to that.
Sounds right.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, the Madison being convinced to be with Peter when she obviously did not want to be with Peter. All of that is kind of why I think Susie, you know, has it both ways. She doesn't have to get proposed to. She doesn't have to be engaged. But they're boyfriend and girlfriend, and that's okay.
No. See, that doesn't add up. Because she had a piece of paper and a pen, and she was writing down the pros and cons of being with Clayton. The pros would be Cassie, Madison. It would be these awful examples of, like, that didn't end right. And the cons would be Greg and Joe and all these guys where it didn't.
What I'm trying to say is that women are talked into this much easier than men, and they are bending for, like, the common good or, like, this,
to the Instagram account Bachelor Data. I think I got that right. I think everyone listening probably already follows them. They do all the charts and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
No, but go ahead.
Susie's Instagram growth was huge during the airing of the show, and she knows that. Obviously, she doesn't need. She has. There's no incentive to get back together with Clayton at all.
So here's where the "I'm a woman in a modern society" comes in, is that you are guilted into so many things along the way. It could be anything. Women are guilted into almost everything. And this is not a defense of Susie. This is a defense of women on a TV show. They will be talked into a lot of things despite what their own instinct may tell them.
I don't see what a producer could tell Susie to convince her
I'm not saying that a producer did, but I'm saying that is likely that in her own head, she's thinking, I bet I'll look better if I just get back with him. And how? It's not like I'm engaged.
But how, what possible precedents could there be for her looking better by getting back together with Clayton? I mean, she must have seen the tweets and the Instagrams and all her friends.
She was back together with him before all that. You know that, right? They were back together before.
That's true.
What I'm telling you is that, you know, yes, us sitting at home, hindsight 2020, we could say Susie shouldn't have got back together with him. That's ridiculous. But imagine how Cassie and Madison and all of them felt, and Susie, and how they felt that it would reflect badly on them if they didn't get back together with him. I'm not saying this is 100% the reason. Maybe she does kind of like him. Maybe she is giving it a chance and all these real, quote, real things. But isn't there, you know, and this is kind of one of these things that women have to tell men all the time, that there's a lot of pressure in society, not just for the big things, but for the small things, right? It's not just pressure to have the big things, sex, and pressure to have a career, and pressure to have it all. No, there's also these, like, tiny pressures that men just don't fold. Yeah, but men just won't do it. They don't care. They're not going to be pressured. And I think this is an instance of one of these things. But again, just like Cassie and Madison, kind of have it both ways. They never got proposed to, so you don't have this huge burden on them. Right. So they feel relief because they're like, "Well, at least I'm not engaged, but I'll play this game for a little bit or whatever." Well,
he's moving in with her. Did you catch that?
Yeah, he sold his. I mean, he is all in. He has, like, sold his.
See, that's why he's a well-rounded guy. He had a job. He had a condo. You know.
I mean,
had it going
on. Don't think he is as well-rounded, but. I just want to.
Condos in Missouri are probably.
Okay, let's put it this way. Each. How long do you think they will last?
I don't think we've sufficiently answered the question yet in order for me to be able to answer that question.
Well, okay, you based on your own thoughts, because me based on my own thoughts, I don't know what I haven't answered, but tell me what I haven't answered so I can try to answer.
It just doesn't make sense that she's with him. There hasn't been a compelling reason why she would do that. If it's true that she wanted off the show anyway. I mean, you sold me pretty much on you and Jay in LA. You guys both sold me pretty much on the notion that she was looking for a way out. She got it. She took it.
Yeah.
Okay. I was on board with that. But now I can't be, because she ended up with him, and it just doesn't, and there's no compelling reason so far that I've heard, no offense, that she would override that motivation in order to be with him.
So what I'm saying is that is still, like, in her mind, she, and I'm saying this as a woman, you know, a compromise is just as good as getting out of it all the way, because in her mind, she looks good getting back together with him. That's not enough of a reason for you. I get it. So do you invalidate, like, me and JNLA's premise to begin with?
I'm forced to, yeah.
So now what do you actually think? You think she's completely happy with him?
I think she must have been in love with him. And she couldn't get past that he had said he's in love with the other two and had sex with them. But she got over it, and now she's with him. So it's a simple story now.
Oh, see, because it's on The Bachelor. I mean, in real life, maybe, but this is The Bachelor. You're going to be famous for a little while. I give this relationship. So you think it's going to go all the way based on what you're saying? You think they could get married? You think they could last years?
I didn't say that, but I could be saying that. Yeah, now. I mean, if she caught feelings for him, sure. But, I mean, again, it really, him yelling at her all like he did really messes everything up, because it's like there are points that were inexcusable, you know, his actions. And so it's like, oh, dude. So if those ever boil back up to the top, whether he does it again or she's reminded of how he acted, that could really break the whole thing up. Mm. But I don't know. I mean, if she's a 10, she should be with a 10, like John Stamos. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's he doing with Clayton?
So you just think it's just going to be regular relationship problems that breaks
them
up?
This triggers me. It triggers me, because you know that I'm constantly griping that women date down. They date their number system down, right? Generally, I'm not talking about everyone, just generally. So she's dating down for sure. So at some point, is she going to like be like, oh, I'm dating down, I can do better, I'm going to find someone else like John Stamos? Or is she going to be content with her dating down like a lot of women are?
So there's a million reasons why they could break up in your mind that aren't my reason. And I will tell you that I think, I mean, it's fine. No, I'm okay with it. I think that I give them as much time and maybe a parallel, I don't want to say similar, because obviously Colton and Cassie's relationship and breakup went off the rails. This is not going to be like that, I don't think. But I give them a parallel storyline to Colton and Cassie, where there will be some realization, some reckoning. I mean, we're not going to be in their relationship. Cameras aren't going to keep following them. But I do still think that that she enacted her escape plan and it worked. Even though it failed because she got back together with him, it still worked, right? She did not have to get proposed to on national TV and accept. I think that's a win in her mind. And it would be in my mind, too. I mean, if I wanted what I wanted out of the show without commitment, I would do that. So, let's just, we might know details. I don't want to say if, I want to say when they break up. Mm-hmm. And then we will be able to parse out which one of us is more correct.
I see.
So just to end up, I want to play something that did not make sense to us from Women Tell All and now should make sense to us. Let's listen to Sierra and whether she's justified in her Women Tell All comments.
Just really quickly, you know, you obviously know that we are all very close. All of us women are very close. And a few of us have been able to hear about what goes down and how messy it gets. And I want to know exactly, you know, who are you to act a certain way and treat these women a certain way and subject them to this kind of behavior of yours? Like, what did they do to deserve it?
I understand, again, that what I did, I think it's important for me to, again, to learn from it, and I am learning from it, but it was with no bad intentions, and I had to let my emotions come out, and that's, unfortunately, it wasn't as straightforward as I had hoped.
I am in a unique position where I do know a lot of things. So I think I'll just leave it at, I hope that you're okay.
Oh, so she was justified.
I mean, he's said so many I'm sorry's and apologized so much. You know, he's done the right thing when it comes to apologizing and trying to make right.
Yeah. I agree. I just wanted to listen to it because at the time we didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah. And now that it makes more sense, I feel like it was, I don't say it was tame, but compared to everything that happened on yesterday and the day after, it was kind of tame. Like, first
well,
off,
I still don't
you?
Know. I still don't think anything happened. But what do I know?
I mean, in terms of the hate towards Clayton online and in Rachel
in the studio.
And Gabby, all that was just like a shitting on you fest, and not without good reason. The double breakup, pretty awesome, like in terms of the audience, not in terms of if you lived it. That's rough. See, like, it's not that he lost me. It's that he is so immature and so ridiculous to think that he could double up to get this over with and go with Susie. That was ridiculous.
All right. I guess I didn't realize the gravitas of that when it happened. But maybe that's my own character flaw.
That's amazing, because it was just kind of, I mean, it was hilarious. As an audience member, I would have been laughing. But then everyone would hate me more so than they already do. Okay, anything?
Well,
that's
speaking
it,
of audience members, so what was leaving the studio? So the show's over. Jesse says his last thing. What, do the lights come on? Do they say cut? Is there a bell that rings?
No, they just thanked us and we left. And
you filed
they
out.
Gave us back our phones. Yeah.
What were people saying in hushed tone as you were leaving? Were they like,
oh, we were
oh,
all
that was so awesome.
My bucket list thing. Oh, I think Cassie's going to be the bachelorette and that's why she's here. Even though I think we know that she has a boyfriend that's like a musician. Just things like that. I mean, if I can remember something exciting, it's all very boring Bachelor Nation, the audience type commentaries. Yeah. It's not anything that you think. I mean, people were just like, I like Rachel. I like Rachel too. Like, come on. Yeah, good. It's not fun. They're not insightful comments.
Well, now we're going to have to deal with Gabby and her soft voice and Rachel with her whispering for a whole season.
I mean, they did this already with Caitlin Bristow and someone else. I think her name was like Bridget or
Brit. No, it's Brit. Brit.
Brit. Brittany? Oh. And it was horrible. They're like,
well, they voted the first for people that weren't around.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah,
they voted the very first episode,
the night
the men
one.
Voted on who they wanted, and they voted for Caitlin Bristow, right?
Yeah, and it was despite the fact that it was the Bachelorette, it was very degenerative. No, it was just very insulting to women, right? Just who do you think is hotter, basically?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was
well,
bad.
They framed it like who are you here for? But I don't know. I think this dual thing could be kind of cool. It mixes it up a bit.
Well, what does it mean? They don't know.
They've already said they're going to be. They said it on air, but they've reiterated that it's going to be for the whole season.
I know.
Both
but
of them.
What does it mean? It means that you're like you're going ping ponging back and forth between the two women.
I don't know, but
it sounds like the Clayton scenario all over again.
It could be a. Yeah. Like, what if a guy sleeps with both women? Is that going to be a big scandal?
It wouldn't matter because they've already gone through that. But also, I mean, why not just, I don't understand. Would they do this to, again, would they do this to two men? I don't think so. It's weird. It's strange. Right. It seems strange.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully, maybe what they'll do is they'll do the most respectful thing they could do is do a parallel thing where, you know, you're dividing up the men 16 and 16 based on what they want. And then you're eliminating from that.
Right.
At some point.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be much more heinous than that.
much more, yeah, sexist and horrible to, yeah, okay.
You remember when heinous was a term? Like, you used to say, like, man, that was heinous.
Nope. No, NorCal.
Didn't you ever watch, well, Bill and Ted was San Dimas. That's SoCal. They used to say heinous and non-heinous.
Is that real?
Yo, that was so non-heinous.
No, I don't know.
You never watched Bill and Ted as a kid?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I saw it on Comedy Central with like 20 commercial breaks. So, no. All right, not very well. Okay, well, Craig.
We did it.
Any final thoughts?
I wish co-host Caitlin were here. She would add in a third perspective that might have, you know, who knows, could have cleared things up, could have helped, could not have helped.
Well, yeah, we would have two against one at least. Okay. Yeah. issue by issue. Okay, Craig, well, I guess they're recording, and I will keep an eye out, stock the sets, and see you summer or something.
I think it's May. I think it's happening pretty quickly.
Oh, that is quick.
Cool. See you in a couple months.
Okay, bye.
Okay.